Ron Partain, Untold History. This is the Tuesdays with Mike and Ron show for Tuesday, April the, I think, the 9th. Yeah, April the 9th. And this was recorded yesterday. I'm going to go ahead and just let the recording go. But I want to let y'all know that after this, I'm going to show about a 2-hour documentary on Israel's second 9/11. And it kind of dovetails with what we did yesterday. We recorded this, Mike and I recorded this yesterday. So it kind of dovetails with that. So stay tuned for that. It's not going to show up until because I only get two, I can only do two slots at a time to with Rumble, so I can't, it may not show up yet, but it will by the time that this recording is done. So FYI, there will be another show following this. So anyway, look forward to seeing you there. That one will be live. I'll be narrating it live and then playing it. So it's going to be almost kind of like a watch party type thing. But anyway, that's coming after this. So enjoy the recording of Tuesdays with Mike, done yesterday. See you in about an hour. And welcome, everybody, to the Untold History Channel. My name is Ron Partain, and it is Tuesdays with Mike, recorded again on a Monday. Mike had something else come up again on so this we're recording this on the day the world is falling apart because of the solar eclipse, but if you see this on Tuesday night, then that means the world is still okay.
We were very, very cloudy up here. I didn't see anything.
I'm
cloudy out. Day here.
I'm out in California, so there wasn't as far as I know, there wasn't really anything. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
So I personally didn't think that anything was going to come from it anyway. I thought it was I thought it was going to be kind of used as a test event to see, hey, this is what the reaction is going to be. So it was more of a reaction test than anything else.
Yeah.
That was my opinion, but you know, who knows? So what do you got for us today there, Mr. King?
Well, Trump made a comment a few days ago that's very much in line with many of the articles I've been writing these last few years. And so I wanted to revisit that topic. He made a comment. He was doing an interview with an Israeli newspaper. And he said that, you know, Israel is really losing the PR war, the public relations war over this. And that's very important. And it was very strategic on his part, because what he's doing is he's calling attention to the so-called atrocities that we spoke on your last show. I don't believe there's a war going on at all. I call it a wag the dog scenario. Mm-hmm. If people want to believe it's real, that's fine. Either way, Trump making that comment was like a little dig in the back. You know, he says, well, they need to wrap this up. It's going on too long, and Israel's losing the public relations war. And that generated headlines, lots of headlines, a comment from the so-called White House. Some Israelis were criticizing it. So it's this is like really the first time that Trump has openly, pulled the rug out from under Israel's feet a little bit. It was a very damaging comment. So, but that's what's going on. And I've been trying to explain this for years to people who are fixated on Trump the Zionist. And, you know, you can't reason with these people. I mean, frankly, they're just stupid. And I'm just like so sick of hearing from them.
A lot of them have pulled insane.
Some of them have been donors. They pulled their donations. They quit the site. They call me a shill. I don't care. You know, I'm not in this to please people so I could gain subscribers. I've presented voluminous amounts of information to show this pattern of how Trump has had to play the game. Now, I sent you that article. If you could pull it up, just a few things I want to pick out of there. And I want to tie this back into our friend Q.
Okay, so here's the...
Go up to the very top. Take it from the top. Scroll down a little bit. You passed it. Okay. The Q posts. There you go.
Right there.
The Q posts.
Trump. There Below. We go, right there.
There. There. Okay. Q post number 151. How do you capture a very dangerous animal? Do you attack it from the front? Do you walk through the front door? Do you signal ahead of time that you will be attacking? Okay. Who is the dangerous animal? The cabal, the New World Order and its components, the globalists, the Zionists. You don't do a full frontal assault. And the way that Trump has handled the Zionist element of this conspiracy, he handled it beautifully because he has to contend with the Jewish power that still exists. And even more significantly, these deluded evangelicals who worship Israel. Okay, you have to tread very carefully. If they perceive at all that you're criticizing God's chosen people or Israel, they will turn against you because those pastors, a lot of them are working for the Mossad. So you have to deal with this. So the way to play the game is to wage your secret war against Israel.
Right.
And yet putting on a public face, I love Israel. Bibi's my buddy. I will stand with Israel, etc. That is meant to conceal the moves that he has made against Israel, which I'll get into in a little bit. And then, of course, you have the other Q post on the right. This is the classic Q916. If you had to rate like the top 20 classics of all time, I definitely put this one in there. We are saving Israel for last. Right. Very specific reason, not mentioned a single time. And this is way back in 2018. And here we are in the end game. They have indeed saved Israel for last. Israel is taking a beating in the public relations war. I've been saying this since October. And now Trump just used that same word, the public relations. And this is what it's all about. This is what's going on. And to anyone who's followed this over the years and understands QAnonology, okay, we're seeing this unfold right now, and it's beautiful. They snuck up on Israel. They did this quietly, and they never really perceived what Trump was doing until it was too late. If you've ever seen Godfather Part Two, and the way that Michael Corleone, Pacino, how he played the big Jewish mobster Hyman Roth, this is identical because in the film, it depicts Michael Corleone. He's plotting to take down Hyman Roth, but in order to do it, in order to conceal it, he's kissing his butt. He goes to his home. Mr. Roth, you're a great man. I know you worked with my father. My father admired you, blah, blah, blah. Kissing his ass. In the end, he has Hyman Roth executed.
Right.
That's how you play it. And this is what happened. And I do believe that Bibi Netanyahu was executed some time ago on orders from Donald Trump. And I just say that based out of the patterns and the inferences, looking at all these characters who look different, the mask lines. And Netanyahu's one of them, multiple pictures where he appears to be wearing a mask. I believe he's been taken care of, but he's finished anyway. Because now they've juiced up, and this is probably U.S. Special Operations. These massive demonstrations are taking place in Tel Aviv. They're camping out at Bibi's, so-called Bibi Netanyahu's private home. So he's gone. Likud's gone. Greater Israel is gone. And eventually the Palestinians will get a nice deal out of this because that's always been Trump's dream. So everything is just going exactly according to plan. As I've been saying for the last 4 or 5 years, based on the clues that Q has been giving us and how they correspond with real life events.
I agree.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree. And, you know, I want to echo my frustration, to the people that just, they cannot – get past the fact that, oh, well, Jared Kushner's evil and he's the, you know, and, yeah. and, oh my God, I don't know.
The deep state, they've got their operatives too, and they're not completely defeated. That's where this emanates from. They have characters in our midst who sound like us and act like us, and they drop these poison pills, and they've built up a following, and it's just all they do is attack Trump, mm-hmm. no matter what they do. And it's hard to tell who's an operative sometimes and who's been duped by them. I don't see why they can't see it.
That's an important thing, though. It's important to do that, because then if it's important to be able to do it convincingly, because then if it's not done convincingly, then how are they going to know? They're going to know that it's fake.
Right.
Right. So yeah. It has to have an aura of credibility. Otherwise, it's like, you know, you're not going to fool the enemy.
Yeah, right. And they have a way. And I've actually been on podcasts and debates with some of these characters, and I bite my tongue, even though I'm 99% sure that they're operatives. A couple of them even look Jewish. I just play along like I'm disagreeing with them, but I really think they were operatives. But for me, one of the telltale indicators is somebody who just goes overboard with the Jew stuff. Okay. Now, of course, I talk about Jews because this is a Jewish mafia. We can't pretend that it's not. But I'm not. They kind of tip their hand. They go, oh, yeah, it's a Jew. That's how they sheep dip themselves, get the street cred, so called. And then they hit you with, well, you know, I used to support Trump, but no more. He's with the Jews. That's how you recognize them.
Right.
It's not going to change anything. They're not going to stop. Nothing can stop what's coming, like you said. But it's a shame that some of our lesser brethren have bought into this. And, you know, they can't get out of their head. But it's important. I like to emphasize this in our community because we don't want to lose any of your people or my people to these devils who are preaching mm-hmm. this nonsense that Trump is one of them. When Trump has been killing them, and I go on to talk about that, and we'll talk about it now, the other stuff that follows in my article. By the way, you'll find that in the article section. I just posted it. Trump dumps Israel. It's at the article section of realnewsandhistory.com. I need all your listeners to go there and at least sign up for the free mailing list so we can stay in communication. But that's the most recent article. Trump dumps on Israel publicly. And it's, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal because now, you know, a lot of the Trump supporters, and this is why he has to tread carefully, because this is especially something in the conservative and the religious communities. They love Israel. But a comment like this goes a long way to begin loosening that up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, they are being kind of rough. You know, even so, but I was very heartened to hear Trump say that. But the bulk of the heavy lifting or the heavy artillery fire is going to continue to come from the controlled left against Israel, which is a beautiful thing, you know.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't know. Call me. I cannot wait for this to be done. And I mean, I cannot wait to watch. Oh, here. Man. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it is tiring though. And it's like a marathon, but mm-hmm. we were told 8 years, you know, it was very subtle, but you know, you look at the plan, it had to be 8 years. So,
and the last one, even though it feels like it's taking forever, it's, you know, shoot, we're already in the fourth month of 2024.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. This year's flying by.
Yeah.
So before you know, it's going to be November.
Yeah. Well, like all great films, the climax comes at the end. So
I know
some big events are going to be coming, I'm sure. You know.
Yep.
But getting back to the article, what is this? See, what's the next point I wanted to make here?
Here, I'll reshare the screen.
Posts, okay. Okay. Well, there you see some of the headlines down there that grew out of Trump's comment. NBC News: Trump faces backlash for criticizing Prime Minister Netanyahu. Reuters: Israel and White House condemn Donald Trump's remarks. So now this is amplification of what he said. Okay. Okay. Now, I want to go over point by point the stuff that matters. People get fixated on trivial stuff, like, for example, moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Who cares? It's no big deal. Okay. Or saying that I stand with Israel. That's nothing. Let's look at some substantive points. And I have a point right there. Trump and Putin took out the CIA, Mossad's ISIS, and saved Syria. Okay.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
That's lower, down lower. Yeah. Trump and Putin took out the CIA, Mossad, ISIS, and saved Syria. That was a major geopolitical objective of the Zionists, was to take down Assad. Okay. They wanted him dead and out just as much as they wanted Gaddafi gone or Saddam Hussein gone. Right. They didn't get it. And why did they not get it? Because ISIS was put down. ISIS was a front for the Mossad. And they were there to destabilize Syria and overthrow the government. Supposed to be like a Muslim terrorist group. Instead of fighting the Jews, they're fighting Syria. Isn't that strange? Okay. Now, when I say that Trump and Putin took out ISIS, which was one of Israel's most deadly weapons, was active in 40 different countries. They could push a button and they could activate these mercenary terrorists to destabilize any country in the world at will. How did Trump kill ISIS? Well, there's a headline. I'm not going to pull it up now, but I can find it for you. But this is a fact. His third or fourth month in office, he killed the CIA's funding for the so-called moderate rebels of Syria. That's ISIS. Right, there's no such thing as moderate rebels and then ISIS rebels. There's no distinction. But the CIA or American taxpayer dollars was funding ISIS. Trump cut that off, okay, on his own. And while he's doing that, Russians were bombing ISIS on the ground. So that's how Syria was saved. So don't tell me that Trump, you know, works for Israel. These idiots, they call him Zion Don, you know, just because of the superficial mask he has to put up. He thwarted single-handedly with this order. He took their money away, and he thwarted this decades-old ambition of Israel to overthrow the Assad family. Okay? So Trump did that. Nobody could deny it. And that's huge. That's huge. Because now Syria is rebuilding. They're normalizing relations and with other countries. So this was the line in the sand where this reign of terror, where you know, first they killed Saddam, then they killed Gaddafi. Now they want to go to Syria. And then later on they had Lebanon and then Iran. They stopped it. They stopped this trend cold in Syria. Donald Trump did that. So the next bullet point. Trump pulled out of the Middle East and let Russia and Iran as the protectors of the region. I mean, yeah, I know we have a base still in Saudi Arabia and such, but he got us out of Afghanistan, out of Iraq. There's like a couple hundred people in the northern corner of Syria. The United States is not at the disposal of the shitty little state anymore. That's what I call Israel, the SLS. And who has filled the vacuum? Russia, China, and Iran, they do joint military exercises. Also, Turkey. So, there's not going to be any expanded war. There's not, and there's, there will never be another war in which the United States fights for Israel. We're out. And these world powers have filled in the vacuum, and it's over. And it's Trump who created that situation. He basically handed over, not the political legal jurisdiction, but he placed the region under the protection of Russia, China, and Iran. Israel can do nothing now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Trump did that. That is just undeniable, and it goes 180 degrees contrary to the Zionist Greater Israel agenda. This is the stuff people need to look at. Don't look at Donald Trump, you know, lighting a menorah with some Hasidic Jews in the White House. That's so stupid, you know, silly. People send me these pictures of Trump at the Wailing Wall with the beanie on. I don't care about that. I'll show you pictures of Trump with Hindus on their holiday or with Muslims on Eid. What does that mean? It means nothing. This is the substance. Okay. Did you have anything else you wanted to ask or add, Ron, before I move on?
No. Okay. It says Trump pulled out of the Middle East and left Russia and Iran as the protectors of the region. And you talked in here about China as well.
China.
So, I'm of the opinion that the Belt and Road Initiative is. Let me ask you, do you talk in at all in here about the Belt and Road Initiative at all?
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem at all. I just think it's international.
No. If it's something that's coming up, then I'll leave it.
Oh, no, no. Well, I didn't mention it in this article. No.
Okay. So, I think that China and Russia and Iran are the three big players that have a role here. And I look at the Belt and Road Initiative, and I don't see China in their history has not been an antagonistic nation that wants to go conquer the world. That's never been their MO ever. So. I look at what they're doing with the Belt and Road Initiative as part of the good thing for building the infrastructure for the future of it's like that's their part that they're playing in terms of cultivating global commerce so that everybody can be profitable in the future.
Yeah,
now, does that mean that they're going to have?
Brzezinski's nightmare, he wrote about in 1998. He was worried about, the Central Asian countries getting together and doing things on their own without being under U.S. influence. And this was part of the reason for Pearl for 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
He used the phrase Pearl Harbor, Brzezinski, because he foresaw back then we could lose Central Asia, our dominance over Central Asia.
Right.
Meanwhile, the Zionists, they wanted to dominate the Middle East. So you have these two forces together, and that's what 9/11 was all about. So they failed, well, Ron. They failed.
I mean,
they failed at their New World Order, and they failed at their Greater Israel. 9/11 was supposed to be it.
I think 9/11 filled multiple roles. I think one of them, certainly what you're talking about definitely is one of them. I think it also had the functionality of, destroying the Constitution and whatnot on the domestic front, but on the global front, it had the ability for them to justify going to war or military action with all these other countries.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but anyway, I digress.
So what's next? Okay. So those are two biggies right there. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know what people are complaining about, but now number three, this might be the biggest one of all. Trump took out Israel's Epstein-Maxwell Island blackmail operation. Mm-hmm. Epstein Island wasn't just about an eccentric billionaire pervert and Hollywood pervert elites. No, it's much deeper than that, and it's much bigger than that. He had other properties, and then there's other sex traps involved. this was big. This was how they would gain control through blackmail. And some of it was voluntary blackmail, meaning people will go to Epstein's Island. They didn't care if their dirty deeds were being recorded. They're showing their loyalty because they're going to rise up in the system. But this is a huge, this may have been Israel's most powerful weapon, even more so than ISIS, even more so than the Israel lobby, Epstein's Island. Okay, who is Epstein? He's nobody. He was a high school math teacher who was recruited by Ghislaine Maxwell and Les Wexner of Victoria's Secret fame. He's just a front for Wexner. This is Wexner's money. Ghislaine Maxwell, her father was Robert Maxwell, buried in Jerusalem with high honors. Mossad. He was a newspaper magnate in Britain. He's Mossad. And all these ex-Mossad chiefs were at his funeral. So by shutting down Epstein's Island, you took away all these blackmailable people, and now they belong to Trump. Well, they're probably all in jail now, but imagine the information they got. So this was a devastating blow to the shitty little state by taking down Epstein's Island. And similar operations. There was also the NXIVM sex cult. And there's also Jeffrey Epstein. He had a ranch, I think, in New Mexico. He had a property in Florida. And this was happening all over. So God knows what kind of information. When they raided all of his residences, they probably got everything they need to arrest everybody, including the Israelis who were running it.
Right.
People want to ignore that. And then they'll say, oh, yeah, but he was buddies with Jeffrey Epstein. No, he wasn't. Asshole. He had him arrested. Nobody else would touch him.
He kicked him off his property and said, never come back.
Yeah, he had him raided. It was Jeff Sessions on his last day, on his way out. He had Epstein's Island raided and busted up. Jeff Sessions, who Trump, by the way, pretended not to get along. That was all a show to cover this up. Was create this illusion of an incompetent Jeff Sessions. No, Jeff Sessions, he cleaned out the swamp big time, and he shut down Epstein's Island. So there's another mighty blow struck against Israel.
There was, and I'm trying to find the, if there, I'm trying to find this thing where it was the Trump, there was the whoever it was that was prosecuting, or was it the prosecutor or was it the defender? Two lawyers on Trump's. No, I think it was the girl. That was prosecuting or trying to
Comey's daughter.
No, the one who with Epstein, the Epstein case down there where Acosta was the one in Florida, and I think it was the attorneys for the people, for the girls, the attorney that was representing the victims, and they got, like, Trump called them and cleared his calendar, cleared his schedule, and said, I'll give you all the time that you need to ask me any question you want. No time is no problem. I'll give you all the time that you want. Ask me any question you want. And he literally, like, sat there and was extraordinarily generous with his time to help them go after Epstein. Mm, yeah. Do you remember that?
Something vaguely like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking for that.
I mean, we don't even have to cite these instances because the bottom line, he put Epstein in jail.
Right.
Okay. You think Hillary Clinton would have done that? Ghislaine Maxwell was at with Chelsea's wedding. Come on.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton appointed Maxwell's nephew to a position overseeing the operation in Libya, but that was a huge loss for Israel. Everything's been a huge loss for Israel. Thanks to Trump. And there's more.
And there's more, but wait, there's more. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Well, let's see what is more.
What a trick. this guy has been Israel's number one enemy, and he's got people accusing him of being pro-Israel. It's a beautiful trick, the way he's played it. Okay, what's next? Trump smoked out the Israel First neoconservatives and chased them out of the Republican Party, which they and their goy agents like Cheney, Romney, Bush, etc., had once dominated. There's no question. He made the Republican Party inhospitable for these people. Bill Kristol, you know how much influence that guy used to have? Those PNAC people?
Mm-hmm.
They ran the Republican Party, the foreign policies. This is going back to the days of Reagan, since they infiltrated. There's a whole story. The so-called neocons were Marxist Jewish liberals from the New York area, intellectuals, so-called. And all of a sudden, they discover, you know what? We're conservatives now. Yeah, liberalism's no good. And, you know, stupid conservatives got all excited and welcomed them into their ranks and into their think tanks and newspapers and magazines. Isn't this wonderful? All of these Marxist Jews now are conservatives. And what happened? They took over conservatism. Okay? They took it over and they redirected it. They killed the remnants of Goldwater Reagan conservatism, mm-hmm. and they made it neoconservatism, which involves, you know, you mouth a few conservative slogans, you come out for tax cuts, this and that. But on the foreign policy, it's super aggressive, particularly in favor of Israel. They ran the Republican Party. They took it over under Reagan, totally controlled it under Cheney. And that was them. They had the stranglehold on them. You know, all these guys, Romney, McCain, all subservient to this neocon clique, which was both political and journalistic. Kagan is one of them. Podoritz, William Sapphire, old New York Times columnist, that immensely powerful. Trump came on the scene. They all went after him. And in the end, by the end of that campaign, they were all endorsing Hillary. And he got them to show their face. You understand? Mm-hmm. So when he won, these guys were done. Bill Kristol used to run these cruises and all these stupid, you know, I don't want to call them stupid, but these trusting people who listened, who read their newspapers or listened to conservative radio, thought Bill Kristol was a great guy. They would go on their cruise. But now they saw, when they turned on Trump, they said, what's going on here? You know, and you still see their remnants, people like Ben Shapiro. But Trump smoked them out, and he attacked them by name, viciously, and they had no place to go. He purged the Republican Party of the Israel First neocons. I mean, what else does he have to do? These are mighty, damaging body blows to international Zion. To lose your, they lost the Republican Party because of Trump.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned Shapiro. God.
Oh, yeah. Little Benny, he's being smoked out now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he went after, I know this is a side note, but yeah. He went after, what was her name? Candace Owens.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went after Candace Owens, and she's like, yeah, dude, I'm done. Late.
Yeah. Yep. And she's dropping the J word now, and this is happening more and more.
Mm-hmm.
This is further evidence that the Jewish power is waning significantly. Ron, you know, we're boomers. We've seen, how many people have we seen taken down over the decades just for casting a disparaging glance at the shitty little state? You know, that's all it took. How many careers ruined, you know? How many people forced? Remember, Marlon Brando once made some comments, got in trouble. He starts making, I'm sorry. He went to a freaking synagogue, gave a speech, and he starts fake crying so he could gain forgiveness. They were going to run Marlon Brando out of Hollywood, the biggest stars in Hollywood, on and on and on. Now it's not like that. You can talk about the ADL. You can talk about Israel. It's changing. And this is happening because we're in the era of Trump. So
it's a beautiful thing.
It really is. And it's quite obvious to me. What's the next point?
Let's see here. Next point, Trump got an Arab state, got Arab states to formally recognize Israel through his pleased and though this pleased the citizens of Israel, it removed the oy vey, the Arabs want to push us into the sea card from the hand of the hardcore Israeli warmongers.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one because that's you know, it's kind of advantageous to Israel if you could have normal relations with all the Arab states. It's really to their benefit. However, for the warmongers of Israel, it also removes a card that they like to play. Oh, everybody's against us. They hate us. They won't recognize us. They want to push us into the sea. That's why we have to act this way. Well, with these Abraham Accords, they can't play that anymore. It took it all away. And that's the whole point. I think ultimately the plan is once you get rid of the Bibi Netanyahu crowd once and for all, is you begin to integrate Israel into the region economically. So it'd be like normal neighbor, having normal relations with your neighbors. And you can't say anymore, we're oppressed. So Trump created that. And that's good for everybody in the region. And it really undermines the warmongers in their rhetoric about how everybody's against them. They can't say that now. So that was
who was the architect of the Abrahamic Accords?
Oh, Jared Kushner, yeah, who supposedly, ran the Trump administration, and he's an evil Jew. I don't know what his other political leanings are, but he did that, and that was a huge contribution. And I don't know what else people would want from Trump. Look at all he's done. Israel's finished. And there's another point, which I don't think I listed in this article. Well, let me see if I did. But I did a whole article on it. I'd like to talk about that as well. Let me see. Do I mention AIPAC here?
So there's this, and then this is the...
Well, at the end, the last point, go back to that, where we just were. Well, never mind. I got it on my end. I'll just read it here. It said, Trump threw Bibi Netanyahu out like a used-up lemon rind after he finished playing him. At the very end of his administration, he made very disparaging remarks about Netanyahu. They got a lot of press coverage. At one point, he said, F him. He's not loyal. Trump said that. He also said Bibi never wanted peace. It also came out that there was a phone call between Trump and Sheldon Adelson where Trump was yelling at Adelson, demanding that he give more money to Republicans. So there's many stories like this, how at the end, now Trump is at peak strength. He can show his true face. And he was really letting it have it to these guys. He hated Netanyahu. Okay. And Shayla, he doesn't like these people, but this is how you had to play the game. But he did say that, and he's quoted as saying F Netanyahu, because Netanyahu was one of the first to call and congratulate this so-called character, Joe Biden. Yeah. He publicly acknowledged. And this is like very soon after the election, everybody's screaming fraud. And here's Netanyahu, congratulations to President Biden. And Trump smoked him out that way. So there are many damaging remarks that he's made. And now, again, we see how he's criticizing his war effort. So another big point is AIPAC, okay, the American-Israel lobby, has lost its influence. It's been split and divided against itself. It's not what it used to be, not even close. And even the Jewish newspapers acknowledge this, that AIPAC is fading away in terms of its influence. Okay. Now, why is that happening? It's happening because at the same time that Trump was provoking the Marxist Jews with his right-wing rhetoric, America First, really getting them angry, he's telling about how much he loves Israel. And that created a big problem within AIPAC. And then he would start to berate the leftist Jews and say, I've done everything for Israel. Why don't you support me? You guys don't love Israel. American evangelicals love Israel more than you. And he constantly provokes them. And they start screaming anti-Semitism. He created a rift. The rift was always kind of there a little bit. He exploited it. And he did this deliberately. He made it so AIPAC is it. I'll show you a headline from a Jewish newspaper. They say AIPAC has split up. American Jews have split up into two warring tribes. You got one tribe, they're mega Zionists. They think Trump is for them. And the other one is Marxist leftist. And they hate Trump. So amidst this division, AIPAC has fallen. Do you know what happened a couple weeks ago? It was announced $100 million.
I'm looking it up right now.
Is going to be pouring $100 million groups into the campaign of Republicans. Okay? So, evidently, Trump has taken control of their money as well, in accordance with Executive Order 138818.
This is the one. Okay, so it's a left versus left House battle funded by a split over Israel. Is that the one?
I don't know, there's a bunch of stories like that.
I can't. That's a New York. It's the New York Times. Yeah. Progressive campaign launched to counter AIPAC. Former AIPAC officials warned against some Democrats split from the party on Israel. From NPR, AIPAC explained the inside story of America's powerful. Yeah, so it's there's a lot of stuff out there.
Well, he engineered this deliberately. He created the. It's an internal Jewish war going on, and the funny thing is, the ones supporting Trump, they think he's all pro-Israel. He's not anti-Israel. He's not against the Israeli people or the idea of peace or anything. Mm-hmm. He's against the whole greater Israel Netanyahu crowd. That's who he wanted to take down. But now $100 million is going to be put towards the campaigns of MAGA Republicans, and they're not going to get anything in return from it, because I can tell you right now they will never be another U.S. war for Israel, thanks to Trump. So these are the things that matter, and this was all engineered by Commander Trump. And the whole time he was doing it, the Zionist evangelicals, they love Trump. And you got a portion of the Zionist Jews, they love Trump. Why such a paradox? Because he concealed it. He concealed his secret war by making all these gestures that have so many of the black-pilled people, they can't get over it. So that's it.
You know, there was a very interesting. Somebody shared with me a very interesting show, and here I'm gonna share this with you. Here I'm not gonna play the whole thing, but maybe I'll play it after the show tonight. That actually might not be a bad idea to play it after the show tonight. Let me see here. It is, it's about, it's 2 hours and 11 minutes long, and it's all about Israel's second 9/11, how Zionism conquered JFK, America, and Palestine. And it's very interesting indeed. I'll send this to you and you can watch it if you want. So. It's very interesting. I've watched quite a bit of it, and I've been bouncing around, going back and catching a few things that I missed. But wow, it's awesome. Anytime I find something like that where they actually take historical information and they put it to context, and then they incorporate things from yesteryear and bring it forward. And then it's like, wow, it just, it really, like, it makes it real. It makes it hit home because it's like, wow, okay, I see where this is going now. And they've been down this forever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite a story. They come a long way since the Zionist Congress meeting in 1897 in Basel, Switzerland, where they come out of there with these incredible pie in the sky future predictions or pronouncements saying,
yeah, you
know, it'll take about 50 years, but eventually an international body will give us a homeland in Israel. To hear something like that in 1897, you would have laughed at them. There weren't even any Jews in Israel back then. It was a small handful. And like, okay, how are you going to get Palestine away from the Ottoman Turkish Empire and the Arabs who populate that area of Palestine? What do you mean you're going to have a homeland in 50 years? What did they know? The Turks weren't about to create a problem like that and give them that land. They already knew that a world wars were being planned many years in advance. And that's how you do it. Cause at the end of world war, at the end of every world war, the victorious powers get to sit around a table, put out a map, get a marker and play God. And this is what they were anticipating.
Right. If you guys want to know what APAC, the symbol of APAC looks like.
Yeah.
That's the, this right here is APAC symbol. Yeah. It makes you want to vomit.
Sure does. Yeah.
Ugh. You know, it's, I walked into, I don't want to call out Clay Clark because I think Clay tries to do good things, but he's just been, you know, hijacked by the whole Scofield Reference Bible garbage, because you know it's all, he's part of the evangelical crowd in the middle America. And you know, I mean so many have fallen under the spell that Israel is the chosen people and they have their own covenant with God, and oh my God, it makes me sick, it makes me ill. But I mean, you know, you go in there and they, you know, this is like the John Hagee crowd, you know, they fly in the Israeli flag, and they don't even understand that that symbol isn't even Israeli. It's like freaking satanic. It's a six. Yeah. It's a
star of Moloch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not even Israeli, because that symbol is nowhere near anything Hebrew from the scriptures.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress. So, is there anything else in this article that you wanted to touch upon?
If you go down the bottom, there's some fun headlines we can go over.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right. I think I'm looking at it right now. This, let's see. This one right here. The Donald followed up his...
Those were the cosmetic things that he did to cover up his secret war. He called Assad an animal. He bombed an empty field in Syria. He moved the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, fawning over Netanyahu, praising AIPAC, condemning anti-Semitism, spewing hatred towards Iran. Staging the killing of an Iranian general. I don't believe that was a real killing. That Soleimani. I reviewed some of the pictures and images.
Oh, the Soleimani.
Yeah, thing. Very, very suspicious pictures and images, fakery all over the place. Donning the beanie at the Wailing Wall, recognizing the Golan Heights as Israeli. The Golan Heights were stolen 50 years ago, and it's all populated by Israelis now. So, I mean, like, big deal. But these are the kind of things that gave him his street cred, but unfortunately, people on our side, they took it as substantive and said, oh, aha, see, he's a Zionist. But this is all cover. The over-the-top show of solidarity solidified his perceived position as Lord Protector of the shitty little state to such an extent that his popularity among Israeli citizens eventually surpassed that of Netanyahu himself. And that's another thing that enables him to undercut Netanyahu. He actually made himself more popular than Netanyahu in Israel. So, but if you go down towards the bottom, there's some headlines here.
I'm guessing the ones from some Jewish Democrats who once relished attending AIPAC now describe it as a hostile territory.
That's right. And it's because of Trump, because of the rift he created. He goes on to say, it's just not a place for me anymore. So Trump, and he continues to do this. He just did it last week, as a matter of fact. He did it again. He said, you know, Jews who don't support me are traitors to Israel. Here's the headlines. Trump doubled down.
Where am I?
You skipped over.
Here.
The headlines. Right. I'm looking for the headlines.
I'm sorry. Headlines. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the pictures.
Trump doubles down on calling Jewish Democrats disloyal to Israel. So he's provoking them. These are the leftist Marxist Jews who hate him. You say, why do you hate me? I'm the best thing for Israel. You're disloyal to Israel. They hate that. And this is what it means by the civil war that he has deliberately engineered amongst the Jews. The headline above, textbook anti-Semitism. American Jews condemn Trump for telling them that Israel is your country. Okay? So he's basically insulting them while making it seem like he's for them. It's just, this is vintage Trump. Trump is right. We Jews hate him despite what he's done for Israel. Okay? So this is, he's just doing this constantly. He's capitalizing on this. And he's getting maybe 30, 35% of the Jews to like him and another 60% who hate him. And that whole civil war, and he's feeding into it deliberately, has basically neutered AIPAC. I don't even think AIPAC exists anymore. I can't believe they're giving $100 million to Republicans. It's just wonderful. And these aren't going to be Rhino Republicans. These are going to be Trump's people. Mm-hmm. So I think he's confiscated their money under those executive orders.
Wouldn't that be just the – oh, my God. That would be – I would be – I would be doing the dance, that those people in the black hats and I'd be doing that dance.
Here's a quote from Trump on a radio show: Israel literally owned Congress, but they don't anymore. So he's telling us it was powerful, and today it's almost the opposite. Okay, so here's Trump acknowledging that AIPAC doesn't have power anymore. Israel is no longer a force in Congress anymore. It's amazing. I've never seen such a change. Israel had such power over Congress. So this is Trump talking, and what he's doing now is he's blaming the far left for doing it. So he's making it sound like, you know, this is not a good development, but he knows what he's saying. You have to understand how to read his code.
Right.
And this is something that most people, it's escaped them. They still talk about the almighty Israel lobby. No, they're just about out of business. Along with the neocons, along with Epstein's Island, on and on and on again. So this is what I mean by Trump's secret war against the Zionists. It's just brilliant. Just brilliant.
Oh, I liked BB. I still like BB, but I also like loyalty. The first person to congratulate Biden was BB, and not only did he congratulate him, he did it on tape. I haven't spoken to him since. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So he out-Jewed the Jew, is what Trump did.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh. That's beautiful.
We are saving Israel for last.
You know, you talk about crap that they do, where how they demand loyalty from, you know, U.S. politicians, and how they own U.S. politicians and whatnot. And, you know, I believe that there is a lot of truth to that. And I remember I met Cynthia McKinney, and I remember when she came out back in, what was it, like 2004, 2003, 2004 timeframe, when she was actually asking some serious questions about 9/11 on the Hill. And boy, she got grilled for it. And ultimately, she lost her seat to that dumbass who, put it this way. The guy who took her seat is the same guy who thinks that Guam is going to capsize because they put too many people on one side of the island. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I remember that character. Yeah.
But
at the end of this journey, I still believe we'll be 9/11 truth. So we still got a long way to go.
I agree.
I'm interested to see how they play that. I think it'll be just too explosive to say Israel did it. But what I think they'll do is they'll present it was a lot of players involved. And it was. It wasn't just, Israel. Though operationally, they were heavily into it. With the art students infiltrating the towers and things like that. But certainly the Brzezinski crowd had their hands in that. But we'll see where that goes. But I'm telling you, and the AS card doesn't work anymore. The anti-Semitism card is getting weaker. I mean, gone were the days where they could just drop that card and everybody just freeze up. And this business in Gaza, these last 7 months, every week that it continues, Joe Rogan, who's huge, immense, came out the other day. I'm paraphrasing. He says, these are people who talk about the Holocaust. How can they do that with what's going on in Gaza? Now, you and I know some years ago, somebody said something like that, he'd be done, right? But he's not. So.
Nope. He's not
done.
Jewish
power is breaking in the anti-Semitism card and the Holocaust card. People are sick of hearing that. And the longer this wag the dog thing goes on, the better. And I say that because I don't believe it's real. But nonetheless,
I agree.
Israel, Trump said,
I absolutely agree.
Taking a public relations nightmare. So,
well, I know I said this last week. This is them having to play defense, and they've never had to play defense before.
Yeah.
They've always played offense because they've always been able to get one step ahead. But now their tricks aren't working and they don't know what to do.
Yeah. They not only don't know what to do, but they're quickly losing the weapons that they used to have to do it with. It's almost like they're left to fight with their bare hands. They do not control the press anymore. I firmly believe that. Under continuity of government, the media is being overseen. So that's where we are. That's a very,
beautiful.
Very, very good news. Beautiful thing.
Yeah. And I just, but like you, this episode was long overdue because like you, man, I'm so sick and tired of people who just can't get past the fact that, he did this and he did that. So he's still on Israel's payroll. And my God, I hear that and I just want to vomit.
Hey, you want to hear something interesting?
Sure.
Guess who once won a civil court case and was awarded a symbolic amount of money because he was being falsely accused of being supported by the Jews. And the accuser was a Jewish newspaper. That's the only other hint I'm going to give you. A Jewish newspaper accused this individual of being funded by the Jews. And he sued and won.
Would it be somebody that I would know?
No, we're going back in history.
Oh. All right. Is it 50 years? 100 years?
About 100 when this lawsuit happened. Yeah.
Baruch?
Adolf Hitler.
Oh, okay.
He was just starting his movement in Germany, okay, gaining some ground. And in order to discredit him, a Jewish newspaper called Volwarts, Forward, leftist, Marxist Jewish newspaper, said Hitler's actually funded by American Jews. Okay?
Well, they've been saying that forever.
They did that so they can blackpill, so people could read that and say, oh, he's one of them. Hitler's one of them. The same tactic that they use against Trump, reverse psychology tactic. Mm. He sued them in a court of law, and he won like 6 marks or something like that. It was like a small amount. Mm-hmm. And he won. So Hitler sued the Jews for saying that he was working for the Jews and won. And so now what do we see now with Trump? Same thing. Like, oh, no, Trump's a Zionist. It's coming from them. All right.
Wow.
They want us to disagree with each other, break our ranks over Trump, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's very interesting.
Clever trick.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, anything else there, or is this?
That's it. I mean, you know, I guess this whole show is that positive note that you like to end on.
Oh, yeah. Q is even though I don't think we'll ever hear another post from Q again. I think that's we're done there. But
he told us we have it all, so it's redundant.
Yeah, it's we don't need any more. But
just infer the rest.
Yeah.
Deuce.
Yeah. Well, you know, I look at the Q operation did what it needed to do. It changed the mindset of people.
Yeah, it woke up a lot of people. It was mm-hmm. also used to put out a little bit of information to induce the bad guys to making bad moves, because mm-hmm. they were reading those boards too. You know, mm-hmm. it did what it had to do. It woke up just enough people, but not too many, because remember, this military operation, the whole point is that people don't know about it. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
Do we really want everybody to know that the military's taken over?
No.
Not a good mm-hmm. thing. So at some point you cut it off. They got just enough of us awake. And, you know, that's what I say. I don't worry about waking normies up to this military operation. That's not for them to know. They just need to learn about globalism and the New World Order and this cabal and all everything. Okay. This kind of stuff we're talking about here, the operation, the Q, that's just for our crowd.
Morale. Yes, but I think there's going to come, there will come a point in time when this will come out.
The operation?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I always wonder about it because then you're basically, you can't get the majority of people.
No, I mean, like,
understand? We're being manipulated.
No. I don't mean. I mean when the dust has settled.
Oh, the bad stuff. Yeah. I think that'll come out. Yeah, but the idea that this, because the whole point of the movie is to make it seem like this is all spontaneous,
mm-hmm.
that all this evil stuff is uncovered, and in the end we win. That's what people are supposed to believe. They're not supposed to believe that it's all been orchestrated, the game by the white hats. That would defeat the whole purpose, you know. So,
well, you guys, if you would have signed up for Mike's newsletter, you would have got. When did this come out?
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah, I got a big response on this.
So. Sign up for his things. You can go to realnewsandhistory.com, and then if you go to realnewsandhistory.com/Ron, all lowercase letters, you will you'll get something a little extra special. So
that's the paid stuff, discounted just for Ron's people. So
yes. So
okay.
All righty. Well, Mr. King, thank you for your time. And all right, everybody, take care. Good night.